Jack Lurie.
Light. I'd like to bring to order the Subcommittee on Capital Construction of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And we're going to start off with opening a work session on Senate Bill 5702.
Chair Holvey, members of the Subcommittee, Senate Bill 5702 is the bonding authorization bill and amends the limits established during the 2017 legislative session for the maximum amount of bonds and third-party financing agreements that state agencies may issue. The proceeds from the issuance of bonds are included in revenues as revenues in agency budgets. The Dash 1 amendment replaces the bill and includes the following increases in general obligation and lottery revenue bonds authorized to be issued during the 2017-19 biennium. $30.5 million of Article 11G bonds, $32.3 million of Article 11Q bonds, and $9.9 million of lottery bonds to finance four public university projects. $17.6 million of Article 11Q bonds to finance capital costs of state property, including one new information technology project and increases in two previously approved projects. $11.3 million of lottery revenue bonds to support three projects. And $4 million in Article 11F bonds to finance two public university projects that will be supported with university revenues. A summary of the general obligation and lottery bond funded projects included in the Dash 1 amendment is attached to the LFO memo. General fund debt service on the additional bonding is estimated to be $833,867 in the 2017-19 biennium and $12.4 million in the 1921 biennium. Lottery funds debt service is estimated to be $3.3 million in the 1921 biennium. Statutory changes in the bill allow $3 million of lottery bond proceeds authorized in 2013. To be used for acquisition of the Coos Bay Rail Link rolling stock. The budget report will also include language expanding the scope of an Article 11Q project authorized in 2016 for the Oregon Institute of Technology to repair and improve infrastructure systems, as well as allocate $1.5 million of lottery bond proceeds approved in 2015 to the Aquinnah Hall South Fair Bundle project. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending the adoption of two budget notes. The first budget note directs the Water Resources Department to report to the Emergency Board no later than December 2018 on publicly owned high hazard dams in Oregon that have unsatisfactory or poor condition ratings. The report shall address the existing Water Resources Dam Safety Program activities, as well as policy and budget recommendations related to the repair, remediation, and replacement of dams with significant risk of failure, the approximate cost to rehabilitate that dam infrastructure, and any existing federal, state, or local resources that are currently available. The second budget note directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to report to the May 2018 Emergency Board on statewide criteria developed to evaluate and prioritize public university capital requests that are proposed as part of the agency's request budget. The criteria and evaluation process should provide, at a minimum, comparable information across projects, objective analysis of each request, and prioritization of deferred maintenance activities.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation. On budget notes.
Co-Chair Gerard moves the LFO recommendation on budget notes. Is there discussion? Representative Kotek.
Oh, would you like to go first?
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
Oh. Well, I just thank you, colleagues. I know we don't want a lot of conversation, but I do think these budget notes are really important. Obviously, the issues around dams, we have a lot of work to do there, so we'll be looking forward to that report. On the budget note for Higher Education Coordinating Commission, I think there's growing consensus among legislators that we are looking for guidance from the commission on how best to prioritize our next round of funding on our higher ed, our university campuses. We need to be comparing campuses and not just funding every project every campus wants. And so I think we're going to have a very interesting conversation next year with this information from the commission. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Smith.
I just need to declare potential conflict when we get to that point.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to adopting the LFO recommendation? Seeing none on the budget notes, it is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5702.
Co-Chair Gerard moves the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5702. Discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? And the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5702 is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5702 as amended by the dash one amendments to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gerard moves Senate Bill 5702 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Two thoughts. One, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest. I do economic development in Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Oregon University is part of the work that we do. I also want to share with leadership how much rural Eastern Oregon appreciates their investments throughout the entire state of Oregon. And please know it's noted and duly appreciated by folks on the other side of the state. Thank you.
And I know you know the rules about filing your potential conflict.
I've done it once or twice.
So any other discussion? Is there any objection?
No. And we would like, it's a Senate bill, but we would like Representative Wisnett to carry that forward.
You would like it.
Thank you. He fully accepts.
Don't get up and say no.
Representative Wisnett will carry Senate Bill 5702.
And I will carry it. I will carry it to the floor.
You will carry it to the floor.
You want to do it on the floor too?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that my
plan? And Wisnett.
Yeah. Is that my retirement gift?
Yeah. No. Argue yeah. to you. It's a happy bill, Gene. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, with that, I'll close the work session on.
Adopt the dash.
Oh, adopt the recommendation to move it to full. Okay. So, with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5702. Getting sidetracked. And we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 5701.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Senate Bill 5701 is the budget bill for capital construction projects. The bill establishes authority for the acquisition of land and the planning, design, repair, and construction of projects with costs over $1 million. Projects are funded with the proceeds of bonds authorized in Senate Bill 5702, as well as other revenues and federal grants received by agencies. The dash one amendment replaces the bill and establishes other funds capital construction expenditure limitation of $90.2 million and federal funds capital construction expenditure limitation of $12.5 million for the 2017-19 biennium. Capital construction expenditure limitation for the 2015-17 biennium is also increased by 436,658 other funds and 521,380 federal funds. A list of the six-year capital construction expenditure limitation approved for projects in Senate Bill 5701 is attached. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends adoption of the dash one amendment.
Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5701.
Senator Gerard moves the adoption of the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5701. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the dash one's adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5701 as amended by the dash ones to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gerard moves Senate Bill 5701 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Smith.
Again, Mr. Co-Chair and colleagues, I want to declare a potential conflict of interest. I do economic development in Eastern Oregon, and there's projects in here that will go to counties that I work with.
Do you want to carry it?
Duly noted.
She's, yeah, I want to carry it because she's on the side.
Okay. All right.
I'll talk to Ben.
Yeah. Co-Chair Gerard.
I thought I had made the motion.
He did.
He did. Is there any more discussion? Is there any objection?
Senator Steiner Haywood will carry it to the full and to the floor.
And I will carry that on the floor on the House side. With that, I'll close the work session. Nope.
Maybe I'll change it.
Okay. You've adopted the recommendations. Senate Bill 5701. Close the work session on Senate Bill 5701.
Do you want the fee ratification?
And with that, we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5202.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, House Bill 5202 ratifies fee changes that were approved by the Department of Administrative Services and adopted administratively by the following state agencies: the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, the Department of Environmental Quality, the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, the Board of Pharmacy, the Board of Psychology, the Department of Agriculture, the Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The measure provides the enabling legislation necessary to approve fees adopted through administrative rule, and without this legislation, these fees would be rescinded upon adjournment of the legislature. Each of these fees were discussed previously and approved individually through the appropriate subcommittees of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means between February 6th and February 8th. And the Legislative Fiscal Office Impact Statement on OLIS provides a brief description of the fee changes, and we have no proposed amendments.
We're in public hearing, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no one signed up for public hearing on this. No comments from the dais. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5202 and go ahead and open a work session on House Bill 5202.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of House Bill 5202.
Co-Chair Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move House Bill 5202 to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gerard moves House Bill 5202 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection?
I did.
The motion passes. And
carriers, Senator Courtney has volunteered for this on the floor.
No, I'm the only one who'll carry it. That's the reason I'm a volunteer to carry it.
And Representative Smith will carry that to the full and on the floor.
Thank you, Representative.
With that, we'll close work session on House Bill 5202. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5703.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5703 is the allocations bill. The next bill on your agenda, House Bill 5201, which rebalances the budget, includes in it modifications or changes in expenditures of lottery funds and criminal fine account funds. That bill won't work unless you also pass Senate Bill 5703, because Senate Bill 5703 actually allocates the monies to agencies that you're authorizing to be spent in the next bill on your agenda. It's a two-step process. So this bill is making the adjustments necessary to ensure that the allocations to agencies that rely on lottery funds and criminal fine account funds have the proper amount of funds available to them. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Public hearing.
Public hearing. Is there any questions from the dais here? Not saying there's no one signed up for public hearing. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5703 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5703.
Sure. Mr. Co-Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 5703.
Senator Gerard moves the adoption of the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 5703. Discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the -1 is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move 5703 as amended by the -1 amendment to full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Gerard moves Senate Bill 5703 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? The motion passes. And carriers?
Senator Winters will carry to full and to the floor.
I don't know, it's a House bill, but when you do that.
No, it's a Senate bill.
today.
Who will?
Okay. So you seem just HB.
I represent Wisnet, will be carried on the, on the House floor.
Thank you.
You'll do two in a row.
That'll close a work session on Senate Bill 5703 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5201.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5201 is the budget reconciliation bill that adjusts the state budget for the 17-19 biennium, along with 2018 session budget decision. The bill includes technical adjustments and actions recommended by the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The bill allocates $96.9 million of the special purpose appropriation of $100 million that was established for state agencies to cover employee compensation costs. This is expected to cover almost all of the estimated general fund costs for changes in the compensation plans of state agencies. Lottery funds, other funds, and federal funds are also increased to cover costs associated with compensation plan changes. There's a detailed summary of the amendment posted on OLIS under meeting materials. I would also note that there's a list of the budget notes recommended for House Bill 5201. Posted on OLIS, and LFO recommends approval of the seven budget notes for 5201 as detailed in the budget note attachment. Oh, I'm sorry, this public hearing still.
We're in public hearing, yep. That's okay.
Thank you. Well, I like having that description, it's helpful. So we have two people signed up for public hearing, Jim Ryan and Joe Rolater.
Co-Chair Holvey, Co-Chair Gerard, members of the subcommittee, my name is Jim Myron. I'm here representing the Conservation Angler. The Conservation Angler is a regional wild fish advocacy organization, and we have a particular interest in issues in the Willamette Basin. So I'm here in opposition to the allocation of funding for the hatchery, for continuing the hatchery on the Mackenzie River, the Lieberg hatchery. Unfortunately, this is an issue that did not get a chance for any kind of discussion in a policy committee. So this is the only opportunity that I have to bring these issues before you. In OLIS, yesterday we submitted two pages of testimony that describe a number of issues and questions that we have about the continued operation of the Lieberg hatchery. I know you're not going to want to discuss those here today, but and if the bill does pass with this allocation of funding for ODFW, we will take our concerns to ODFW as part of the review of their next budget by their External Budget Advisory Committee. But it would have been very helpful to have had a thorough discussion of these policy questions during the current session. If you choose to pull that out of the bill, that would be fine with us too. We would still continue to have our discussion at EBAC at ODFW. But be happy to try and answer any questions that you have.
Go ahead and hear from Joe.
Chair Hobey, Co-Chair Gerard. My name is Joe Rolater. I'm here today representing the Mackenzie River Guides Association and the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. First of all, let me say that we participate all the time in the EBAC process. We're looking forward to having a thorough discussion about the ultimate use of this hatchery on the Mackenzie River above Eugene, Oregon. Hatcheries just don't do well if they don't have water and if they don't have maintenance folks. Closing this hatchery would be the loss of a very valuable capital investment for the state. And we would hope that you would approve this interim funding, this funding for the next year as half of the biennium. So we could keep the hatchery, so that ODFW could keep the hatchery open, and so that we could ultimately decide the future of this hatchery without having to also include repair and maintenance of things that break in the next year. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I have a question. So is that hatchery, I sort of remember back that it raises fish and releases them into the Mackenzie that aren't necessarily in the indigenous species of fish. Is that still the case for that hatchery?
Chair Hovey, Co-Chair Girard. Actually, I grew up on the Mackenzie about 5 miles above this hatchery. It's always been a trout hatchery since it was built in 1953. Rainbow trout are endemic to the Mackenzie River, but the strain of trout that they were growing at this hatchery are completely different than those fish. So there's a companion spring Chinook hatchery across the river and just below Lieberg Dam. Both of those hatcheries were built as compensation by the Corps of Engineers for loss in fisheries due to the flood control projects along the east side of the Willamette Valley. I remember as they were being built and as these hatcheries were being built. So they're a big investment. A hatchery costs at least $100 million to build now. Thank you.
Jim Meyer again. One of the big concerns over the years with Lieberg Hatchery has been the disease problems at the facility. And I think that that's been particularly acute relative to the raising of trout. We've been unable to get any information over the years from ODFW on the amount of chemicals that they use and release into the waters of the Mackenzie in order to control the disease problems of trout. That's a huge thing that should be resolved before any long-term decisions are made about the future of the hatchery.
Yeah, I know that's a concerning issue, being that is the source of what's considered very clean drinking water for the metropolitan area of Eugene and down there. So that is a little bit of a concern for me.
I think you have someone else that wants to come up.
Sean Miller, you're not signed up, but you're welcome to.
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I represent the Coastal Conservation Association in support of keeping the Lieberg open. This isn't just bridge funding. The policy option package at ODFW will take the legislature. This discussion will take place next session. But if you close this hatchery, and NOAA's closing the hatchery, so all they're doing is letting ODFW operate it to keep it open in this interim period. It's not that much money to keep this bridge funding open, but if we close it, we'll never ever keep it open. It's you disperse that throughout the state, and it's pretty hard to reopen a hatchery once it's closed. So if you mothball it, and ODFW will tell you that, it's pretty much impossible. So this is bridge funding to keep this operational.
Well, it sounds like my concerns are, thank you for that. It sounds like those concerns can be talked about at ODFW, and that will come up there. So,
is this the hatchery where they're drawing down the federal funds on?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we're coming in with state money because they're drawing down the federal funds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And your opposition is you just don't want any hatchery ever, or you want it done right? And I'm not trying to contradict you. I'm just getting all crazy confused here.
Thank you for that question. This is Jim Myron again. We're concerned about the operation of the hatchery and its effects on not only the quality of the water with the chemical use, but also on its... There are two listed fish species in the Willamette, winter steelhead and spring Chinook. Winter steelhead are going extinct, and spring Chinook are probably close behind. And the operation of the hatchery has an effect on those two listed fish in the Mackenzie. The other particular concern we have is the source of funding for this bridge funding, general fund dollars. To us, general fund dollars should be spent on projects and programs within ODFW that benefit the public at large, not particular user groups like the CCA. If this is to be continued, it should be paid for by the user groups as part of their angling license fees.
And Mr. Chair, and that's something we've offered up Sean Miller again with Coastal Conservation Association. In conjunction with keeping this bridge funding open, we'd like to, the $10 that we pay for Columbia River endorsement fee money that was brought forward in reforms, Columbia River reforms, is things that we'd like to actually spend some of that money for recreational benefits, which benefit the entire Willamette Basin, and this is part of that system. And so we are more than willing to pay for part of that, and that's part of the proposal.
All right. Thank you. Is there any more discussion?
I would like to discuss, but you close the public hearing.
No more questions. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Kircher. I have a question on a different portion of the bill, and it's more of a question for Paul, I think. Paul, can we just get the briefest of updates on Oregon Saves? It looks like we're going to be doing a nominal appropriation in this bill. And I'm just trying to figure out, are we still on schedule? Is all well? What do we need to know on that? Are we moving to a different, are we still on this?
We're still in public hearing, so.
Is my question appropriate at this time?
I'm sure.
Well, I see these guys still up here.
I can leave.
You can answer my question.
Is that a question for Sean
Thank
Miller?
Thank you for testifying. We appreciate it. You've raised some important issues. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Paul, are you tracking that question? Or do you want
to? Mr. Chairman, of the committee, John Borden from LFO is here to answer the question about that.
Jim, right here.
Thank you, Jim. I think we're done with the fish part.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's kind of hard when you have all these pieces of bill.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, Representative Smith, the Oregon Saves Program at the Department of State Treasury is on track and proceeding well. What you see in this measure is a $1.8 million supplemental appropriation to their current service level that would be for outreach and further efforts with their employer groups as well as employees. So is that a sufficient answer, Representative?
It's perfect. Thank you.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you. I don't know if you want this comment now or when we're in work session, but I have some significant concerns about the inadequate funding for the Public Defense Services. I'm glad that we're expanding the Parent-Child Representation Program. I think that's a really important step in the right direction. But if we continue to underfund public defense while increasing salaries for analogous employees, attorneys at the DOJ and in the district attorney's offices, we're going to have increasing difficulty attracting competent attorneys to provide a constitutionally required public defense for people who need it in the state. It's a concern I've been expressing for years now, and I'll continue to express it until we do better at making it right. So I just want to get that on the record.
Thank you. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have three short questions, I think. The early sections, starting on 10, all that for Department of Transportation, is that coming from, is that in support of 2017, House Bill 2017?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, that's true. It is. Okay. That's what they're for.
Second, thank you. Second question, Mr. Co-Chair. We're giving $17.8 million for the electric vehicle rebate special program. Is that consistent, and what we're supplementing that program for? Is that an increase? Are people still buying the cars? If we need to?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is the amount that was estimated in the revenue impact statement for House Bill 2007, the transportation package that passed in 2017. We're recommending that those funds be unscheduled until there's clarity on the availability of them. I believe there's a legal challenge outstanding on the use of those funds, so we've requested that Department of Administrative Services to unschedule that funding until those questions are answered.
Thank you. My final chip question, Co-Chair. Back to the Oregon Retirement Savings Board. I think I supported that bill. I know that was Tobias Reed's, one of his programs. But we need to determine what the break-even, are we going to continue to supplement this $2 million a year? There's a lot of needs for $2 million for mental health and everything else. So do we have an idea of when they're going to break even and we won't have to continue to supplement this program?
May I, Mr. Chair? Thank you. I had the privilege of chairing the General Government Subcommittee when we were putting this into effect, Representative, and the expectation, Mr. Borden can probably throw me a lifeline here, but my recollection is that it was because we weren't actually starting it until 2018, the expectation was we wouldn't be breaking even until sometime in 2019 or 2020 based on the fees and the accumulated funds in the account. So it was never expected to be full long-term, and I think ultimately the expectation was that the program would actually pay back to the general fund the money that had been used to subsidize it. Mr. Borden, am I misremembering anything?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senator, you have remembered correctly. This is a general fund loan, but at present, Representative, there is currently no estimate on payback. Essentially, what must happen is that the corpus of the employees' deposit into these accounts must become large enough to have the fees associated with that pay for the operation of the program, as well as begin repaying the general fund. But the general fund loan is being tracked by our office. So, but that is definitely a few by any out. Thank you.
Follow up, Mr. I think we were told that in reading the bill that our comments that a lot of that's for marketing. Is a significant amount of that for marketing?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, Representative, there is a significant amount for marketing and some for legal fees. There has been a legal challenge, but yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Are you still you want to go to work session?
All right, I'm waiting to do that unless you want to.
Yeah. So any other discussion under the public hearing? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5201 and open a work session on House Bill 5201.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5201.
Budget.
On budget notes.
Co-Chair Girard moves the LFO recommendation on budget notes to House Bill 5201. Is there discussion?
Quick question, Mr. Chair. The budget note number 4 on the first page. What is that? I think that'll show up somewhere in the rest of the budget document. What is that referring to?
Budget note number 4 is an Oregon Health Authority budget note.
Which must be attached to something. It's just not totally clear from the budget note.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kotick, we have the LFO analyst, Linda Ames, can come and give some more clarity on that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kotek, I'm sorry, but we can't hear over
sorry,
on the side.
Page, the first page of the budget notes, number the fourth one at the bottom of
and
the
it's
page.
And it's the OHA.
Yeah, it's the one that says additional funding to supplement existing capacity grant program. I think I know what it is, but it's not clear.
Oh, it's for mental health funding in schools. Okay. I believe it's called the Mental Health Capacity Fund.
Thank you. And I'm sure it'll show up in the budget document.
Right, there's some context
the money,
around
so, okay,
the budget note.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other questions? Seeing none, have we adopted that yet?
Oh, you need to vote on.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting the budget notes? Seeing none, they're adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the -3 amendment to House Bill 5201.
Senator Drodd moves the adoption of the -3 amendment to House Bill 5201. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the -3 is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5201 as amended with the -3 amendments and with the LFO recommended budget notes to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves House Bill 5201 as amended with the -3 amendment and with the LFO recommendation on budget notes to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Change.
Yeah. Discussion.
Discussion.
I've been waiting here with bated breath.
Co-Chair Girard.
As a sports fisherman, I strongly support the Lieberman Fish Hatchery. Not only does it...
Lieberg
Fish Hatchery. And the reason I do is twofold. One is it produces a lot of trophy trout, which we didn't talk about, which is important to the sports angler to have a shot at doing. Plus, as it was brought out, they probably will start supplementing some of the salmon runs for both the gill netters and the sports fishermen. Fish hatcheries are critical to the sports fishing industry. They just really, truly are. And the thought that we're just going to go strictly native just won't work. And I just can't agree with that. So I am a strong supporter of that.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick comment about one of the budget notes, the one about the Department of Corrections studying the possibility of establishing a geriatric unit. I agree that in the majority of the world, 75 is considered elderly. We know that being incarcerated adds 20 years to someone's life. Their chronologic age underestimates their biologic age by 20 years. So while I agree that the budget note says 75, I hope that the Department of Corrections will consider coming up with an additional definition of adults in custody who might be more appropriately housed at such a unit, rather than making it a strict chronologic age criteria, because I think there will be other people whose physical condition merits them being considered for this population as well.
That's important when you look for expense.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Two things. One, again, I need to declare potential conflict of interest. I do economic development for a living, and I'm a member of an LLC that partners with folks, does work with folks who may be in this legislation. I'm not sure they are, but I just want to cover my backside. And then the second thing I'd share is this is a lot of work. This is a lot of work that leadership and has undertaken to reconcile the state's budget. And so I want to compliment them on the decisions they've made and on our staff for all this hard work. I'm not sure everyone understands what really goes into reconciling a budget of this nature. And so job well done.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Following up on that, I do want, since I'm not on full Ways and Means, just want to make a few comments. I want to thank the staff. This is very difficult to do to rebound, you know, make sure we have a balanced budget at the end of the short session. We tried very hard to respond to emergent needs, things that have come up since we adjourned last year. We also know that we have significant budget issues as we move into the 2019-21 biennium. So there was a lot of reticence to doing any new programs, even putting statutory language saying we want to have a new program next year. We didn't want to do that. We had some one-time issues, fire, other things that we had to take care of. And while I think there's some disappointed people out there wanting to restore cuts and fund new programs, we are trying to be very strategic about what we do in this session. You have a lot of one-time things here, things that will not roll up. We have a very difficult budget coming into the next biennial discussion. So I want to echo what Representative Smith says. It takes a lot of work. People ask for a lot of things. There are things that happened over the last several months that people needed. We did our best. And I think people need to focus on how we deal with our major budget problems next year. And there are some things we need to fund, and there are things, and we're not sure how we're going to do that. So look forward to working with you all next year, and in the interim, to get ready for next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll just follow up on the Lieberg hatchery. I do have concerns about the disease in that particular hatchery, and the impacts that hatchery has on some of the steelhead and the trout that have been identified. And I'd like to know, you know, what chemicals are actually being put into the river to treat those diseases, and hopefully that ODF&W is sharing that information with the Eugene Water and Electric Board as to the, so that they can monitor that those particular chemicals for the drinking water source that river is. And so I would like to get information from ODF&W about what exactly they're putting into the river to treat disease. So with that, that's my comment. So any other discussion? Well, we have is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion is adopted. And Representative Nathanson be carrying that on the floor and to full?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Johnson.
And Senator Johnson. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5201 and open a public hearing on House Bill 4163. Oh, after. Okay.
Probably all mad.
Give us a quick overview of the bill. Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, House Bill 4163 is the program change bill. As amended, this bill makes the necessary changes in statute and session law to support the 2017-19 legislatively adopted budget, and to clarify the application of statutes for the budget and to modify provisions related to the use of funds. This is a non-appropriation measure necessary to balance the budget. Specific provisions of the measure include moving responsibility for administering debt service on outstanding general obligation bonds sold for the benefit of Oregon Health and Science University from the Department of Administrative Services to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, move civil penalties for recreational marijuana to the general fund, change cost recovery requirements for financial institution data match, provide for an actual review of the PERS system, permit the Oregon Health Authority to designate another entity to be responsible for a cancer registry, makes permanent current law changes to legislator salaries, increases judges' annual salaries by $5,000 on July 1st, 2018, moves the Oregon Volunteers Program from the Governor's Office to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, validates general fund appropriation language for two agencies. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. There is a dash one amendment posted on OLIS available for the subcommittee.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 4163.
You're still in public hearing. Oh, so public hearing.
So let's go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 4163, and we'll open a work session on House Bill 4163.
Yeah, timing's everything. I'll move the dash one amendment to House Bill 4163.
Senator Girard moves the dash one amendment to be adopted to House Bill 4163. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Dash one amendment is adopted.
I move House Bill 4163 as amended with the dash one amendment to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Girard moves House Bill 4163 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? The motion is adopted.
Steiner Haywood will carry to the full and to the floor.
Better not screw it up.
I know.
Because I'm notorious for doing that, Mr. President.
No, for the floor.
She is on a short list.
Right.
This is
and
a sample
Nathan's
to see how she does.
Carry on the floor on the... So we will close the work session on House Bill 4163. And
are we going to recess or are we going to...
We are going to stand in recess.
Good.